Okay, so Parashas Miketz, Tavshanai and Tess, third night of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah to everybody. And we're going to be focusing on Hanukkah instead of the Parsha this week. And we're going to begin with some thoughts on Al HaNisim, what we add to the Shemona Esrei and to the benching on Hanukkah, Al HaNisim. So I've given out here the Art Scroll Siddur, and Al HaNisim can be found, in Shacharis on page 112. So, page 112, we add Al HaNisim into the Brach of Modim Mishmon Esrei. And let's just read a little bit. So the prayer begins, Al HaNisim, for the miracles, Val HaPorkin, for the salvation, Val HaPorkin, on the redemption, Val HaGevurais, and for the mighty deeds, Val HaTeshuas, and for the salvations, Val HaMelchamas, and for the wars, the victories in the wars, Sha'asisa la'vayseidu, that you have performed for our forefathers, Ba'imahem azman azeh, in those days at this time. And we know that, we turn to the next page, page 114, we know that we say Al HaNisim on Hanukkah and on Purim. The introductory paragraph is the paragraph we just read of Al HaNisim, and then we go into the paragraphs that deal with Hanukkah and Purim. So let's begin from the top line on Hanukkah. B'mei Matisyahu, in the days of Matisyahu, Ben Yochanan, the son of Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, the high priest, Chashmonai, the Chashmonaim, that was the name of the family, Ubanav and his sons. Kesha'amda Malchus Yevon HaRashalam Chayisrael, when the evil Greek kingdom arose over your nation Israel, Vashchicham Torah Secha, to cause them to forget your Torah, Labirami Chokai Ritzonecha, and to cause them to transgress the laws of your will. But you, in your great mercy, you stood up for them in their time of distress. Okay, we'll stop here, and the rest of it goes on. And let's start focusing on a couple of... Let's go back to the beginning and focus on a couple of things. So it starts off, in the days of Matisyo, the son of Yochanan. So the Sifzei Chaim points out that typically when we want to identify a time, so we say in 1948 or in 1965 or in 1865, right? Typically when we want to go ahead and identify a period, we go by the year. If we want to go more specific, we'll mention the date, the month of the date. But here, both Anchan and Kippurim, how do we identify the period? Bimei Matisyo, the days of Matisyo. And by Purim, if we look on the other side, Bimei Mordechai Vester, here's Mordechai and Esther. The periods are identified by the righteous people through whom the salvation miracles came through. And that's because when we identify these unique times, we identify them by the righteous people who lived in those times, who influenced those times, who molded those times, and who brought about the miracles and the salvation of those times. That's how we identify the time. The time is identified by the righteous who mold them, who mold those times, who mold those periods, who mold those events. And that's why we start in the days of Matisyahu ben Yochanan. The next comment that Sifzei Chaim gives is focusing on a difference that we have at the beginning of what we say for Hanukkah, what we say for Purim. So for instance, by Hanukkah, we say, maybe Matisyahu, we know the hero, the righteous man who led the victory was a man named Matisyahu. Ben Yochanan, we also say his father's name. When we go by Purim, and we talk about Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther, we don't talk about their parents' names. They don't mention their parents' names. Like, it doesn't say Ben Mordechai, Ben, I think his father's name was Yor, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ishimini. I think this is what it says in Megillas Esther. We mention Matisyahu's father, but we don't mention Mordechai or Esther's father. Why is that? Now, maybe you say because everybody knows Mordechai, everybody knows Esther. That already knows Matisyo. But the Sif Sechayim brings an explanation that the difference is because the way he says it is Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a very well-known figure. Yochanan Kohen Gadol appears in the Mishnah, he appears in the Gemara. He's a well-known figure, a well-known righteous figure. Mordechai's parents, Mordechai's father, we read in the Megillah, but we don't really know who he is. And therefore, the reason for mentioning the well-known father of Matisyo is because by mentioning the well-known tzaddik, what we're doing is we're invoking Schus Avos. We're invoking the merit of his fathers. By saying Yochanan, Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, what we're doing is we're actually mentioning Matisyo, who was a righteous man on his own, a tzaddik on his own. Not only was he a righteous man on his own, he had Schus Avos. He had merit. He had the merits of his father, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, a well-known figure. And therefore, we mention his father because we're bringing out that there was Yochanan, Kohen Gadol's merits, that were here alongside Matisyo. They were there. They were part of what Matisyo was able to accomplish to bring about the salvation for the Jewish people. Now, the Sif Sechayim also brings out something very fascinating, a very interesting idea. And he says that any time, you know, a name essentially, we're not always able to recognize it on our own, but a name is really the code to understand the person's essence, especially if you have a name that comes out in the Torah. A name in the Torah is not just merely identification. It's really, the name really is the way that is the formula, so to speak, that lets us know what is the essence of this person. Sometimes the commentaries point it out, sometimes they don't. But a name is not random. Even our names aren't random. But especially when names are mentioned in the Torah, we're there, there we have... Happy Chanukah. Happy Chanukah, you can say Happy Chanukah to everybody that who's going to see, be seeing this.
Happy Chanukah.
It's a video.
Cool. Somebody's looking at it right now.
It's going to be sent out.
It's better because this will be forever.
Yeah.
Thank you. So the Sif Sechayim points out, so again, especially in the Chumash, Siddur, written by the Anshe Knesset HaGdola, a name is really meant to be the expression of the essence of the person. So if you take a look at the name Matisyo, okay? So tell me, is there any word in there you can recognize in Matisyahu? A name. A name of something. There's a Hebrew word, I shouldn't say a name. In the name, do you see a word that you recognize? Okay. So first of all, in Matisyo, you have the Yud and the Hey. That's Hashem's name. Okay. So, and the word Matas means gift. Matisyahu means gift of God. That means that Matisyo was the kind of person who recognized that everything in life was a gift of God. That was his essence. Not that he was a gift of God, which maybe he was, but when it's describing the essence of the person, it means to say that he recognized that everything in life was a gift from God. If you look at Yochanan, right? Yochanan is also very similar. The Yud and the Vav is part of Hashem's name, and Hanan, which is similar to the word Hanun, Hanun v'rachum. That also means Hashem is gracious. Hashem is kind. These two people, they were the kind of people who recognize that everything in life is a gift from God and by Hashem's grace, by Hashem's kindness. And the Sif Sechayim says that is the essence of how they merited to bring about miracles. Why miracles were done for them and through them. A person who recognizes everything, including everything natural in life, is a gift of Hashem and is the kindness of Hashem. Everything in life is like that. They recognize everything in life that comes our way. It's nothing for granted. It is all decreed and given to us by Hashem. That's the kind of person who's worthy of having miracles.
But aren't all the Jews supposed to?
Yeah, but if this was his name, that means he really lived with that. We all know these are things we're all supposed to. The question is, how much do we live with it? And depending on how much we live with it, that's the way Hashem deals with us. Matisyo was able to bring about a miracle for the whole nation because he lived so strongly with that, that he was now worthy. If you recognize everything comes from Hashem, then anything that you need from Hashem will come your way, whether it's going to be what we call natural or supernatural. The way the Sifas HaChaim says it is, and this is based, I believe, on the writings of the Ramban, is that basically, the more you recognize everything comes from Hashem, the more Hashem is going to do for you to help your belief in that be strengthened. The Ramban says, supernatural miracles are what make it very clear to us that Hashem runs the world, and it helps us understand that everything going on in the world is from Hashem. When it's natural and going on regular, we don't recognize it as much. We have to try to recognize it, but we don't recognize it as much. But all of a sudden, when a miracle comes, then we say, look, right? Look, Hashem is here. Hashem is controlling the world. Hashem is running the world. You know, and the fact that now the water is split and before it didn't, it's not different. It's all the same thing. It's all Hashem's decree. It's all Hashem is doing. And therefore, somebody who really recognizes that, Hashem gives them the chance to see it clearer and have that recognition become even stronger. So if Matisyo is the kind of person who realizes everything, who lives with the idea that everything is a gift from Hashem, then he's the person who merits gifts from Hashem. He's the one who merits to see that everything, that he's the one who merits to see miracles so that his recognition that everything comes from Hashem is strengthened. Or similar to what we said a couple of weeks ago, if you recognize everything is from Hashem, so for you there's no difference between a miracle and something natural, then Hashem can do miracles for you and it doesn't come off your credit because for you there's no difference. Everything runs the same way. So that was an idea that Moshe Feinstein had in Parashas Vayishlach. But the point is, if Matisyo lives with this idea that everything is a gift from Hashem, then he can get the gifts. He can get the gift of a miracle. And looking at his father's name, Yochanan, which means Hashem, Hanan, Hashem is gracious with us. So that was his merit. His merit also contributed to the miracles that his son brought about because of his recognition of the fact that everything comes from Hashem, everything is from the kindness of Hashem. That was his chus, that was his merit that brought about for his son that he should be able to see the miracles. So it was his own merit and his father's merit. Now I want to share with you, and the last thing from the Sifas HaChaim on this line is the fact that the name is Matisyo, the son of Yochanan, Kohen Gadol. Who is the Kohen Gadol here? Matisyo or Yochanan?
Oh, I assume the father.
Which one? So you're assuming it's the father because it comes after him. Okay. Now, it could have been that it was Matisyo, but when if you're identifying him by his name, like when you couple someone to an aliyah, right? You don't say Chaim Kayan Ben, whatever. You say Chaim Ben Yisrael HaKayan, right? So it could have very well been that, you know, again, just from the wording, maybe we would have thought Matisyo was the Kohen Gadol. So the Sifas HaChaim says, we know Matisyo was not a Kohen Gadol. There's no indication he was. And he says that this Yochanan was the son of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik appears in Pirkei Avos, and he's called Shimon HaTzadik is Mishiyare Knesset HaGdoyle. He was from the last of the men of the Great Assembly, the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle. And we know that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, he's now exactly where he knows this from, I'm not sure. Doesn't it say where he gets it from? But he says, Yochanan was the Kohen Gadol. He was the son of Shimon HaTzadik, who was the Kohen Gadol, and he took over from his father after his father passed away.
But then why did his son?
First of all, the Beis HaMikdash was taken away. It was taken over by the Greeks at some point. And then after that, the Hashmonaim became the kings. So why exactly not? Don't know. But we have no indication about Yisrael as a Kohen Gadol, or ever had a chance to practice being a Kohen Gadol. So according to this, Yochanan Kohen Gadol is the son of Shimon HaTzadik, and as we said before, we're mentioning his name here also. Besides from Matisyo's name, we mention his father's name, Schus Avos, a merit of the fathers. I want to share with you now an idea from a sefer, and I think there are a lot of issues with this thought, but the final thought is an interesting one. So there's a sefer that actually seems to say that this Yochanan Kohen Gadol was not such a tzaddik. We know from the Gemara that there was a Yochanan Kohen Gadol who the Gemara says Shimish Pekluna Gadol Ashmeinim Shana, who was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And at the end he became a Sadducee. That's the example when the Pirkei Avos teaches us, don't trust in yourself until the day of your death. What's the example that you hold up? 80 years of Kohen Gadol. That means, right, I can't imagine he became a Kohen Gadol before his Bar Mitzvah. Right? So he had to become a Kohen Gadol, I'd say the earliest is Bar Mitzvah. 80 years at Kohen Gadol. 80 years. And at 93, after 80 years being Kohen Gadol, becomes a Tzaduki. He denies Torah Shebaal Peh, basically gives up almost everything that he did until now. So, if it's this now, that was Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Now, is it the same Yochanan Kohen Gadol? Maybe it's not. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. We don't know. If it was the same Yechren Kain Gadol, was that Yechren Kain Gadol who became a Tzaduki at the end? Well, for sure, we wouldn't use him for Tzchus Avos, that's for sure. And it would also seem very odd that we should mention him. Why mention a Rasha? Why even mention a Rasha? Now, the proof that this Sefer used to say this Yechren Kain Gadol was that one, which may not be such a proof anyway, but I would point out something else, is the fact that the Rambam wrote an introduction to his commentary on Mishnah. And towards the end, he goes through certain names of Tanoim, through certain Mishnayos, where names of the Tanoic sages are mentioned, and we don't really know who they are. And he identifies who they are. So when it comes to, he mentions the Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he says, who is this Yochanan Kohen Gadol? This is, I have the wording here, so I should use it. Okay. Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Who's Yochanan Kohen Gadol? Who Yochanan ben Matisyah? His Yochanan, the son of Matisyahu. Hayadua, who's well known. Hanizkar betfilais, who's mentioned in the prayers, the Mohammed Malchayavan, in the wars of the kings of Greece. This is Yechren Kohen Gadol, is Yechren the son of Matisyah, Hayadua, who's well known, who's mentioned in the prayers of the wars of the king of Yavan. What are the prayers of the wars of the king of Yavan? Which prayer is that? Which prayer is it? Is it Al HaNisim? Could be. I personally, my personal feeling is that if it was Al HaNisim, we would have said Hanizkam Al HaNisim. Why does he call it the prayers of the wars of the kings of Yavan? He should say Al HaNisim. Do I know what other prayers that could be? I don't know. But apparently there is those who want to say that tefillas, the prayers of the wars of the kings of Yavan, is Al HaNisim. Okay, it's not that far-fetched. But there's a different problem with saying this. In Al HaNisim, Matisyahu is the son of Yechren Kohen Gadol. And Rambam is talking about Yechren, who was the son of Matisyahu. Get it?
Could be a common name.
Yeah, but wait a minute. But the Mishnah says it's Matisyahu, son of Yochanan. And the Rambam says it's Yochanan, son of Matisyahu. So it's not the same, not the same person. Unless Matisyahu's grandfather's name was Matisyahu.
Right, so that's what I was trying to say, that it's a name that, like...
But still, like, it's just interesting, Matisyahu, this is Yochanan son of Matisyahu, who's known in the prayers of the wars of the king of Yavan. It's like, right, everybody knows Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Yochanan Matisyahu. It's a very well-known person, mentioned in the prayers. I don't know enough to say everything, but... is this Yochanan Matisyahu so well known? Other than in Al HaNisim? So, I don't know. It could be it's the same. If it is the same, so I'm just bringing out some questions whether maybe it's not a proof from the Rambam it's the same.
It depends. I don't know the chronology. So, if Rambam lived approximately at the same time, it was much later, right?
Much later. But I'm saying he has some kind of tradition who the people are.
Right.
So it could work out that this Yechren Kain Gadol was Yechren Matisyo. I mean, maybe there's somewhere else in Shas or Mishnayos that we know about Yechren Matisyo. That's this one. And the prayers of the wars of the kings of Yemen is Al Anisim. It could be. I'm just saying it's not as clear cut as if it would have, if he would have said, you know, it, instead of saying Yechren son of Matisyo, it would have said Matisyo the son of Yechren. Okay. Now, if so, but again, if you want to say, but if you want to say that this is Yechren Kain Gadol, right, and it's the same Yechren Kain Gadol of the Rambam, who's the same Yechren Kain Gadol that the Gemara says went, you know, after 8 years being Kain Gadol, left the path of righteousness? Why mention him? So the Sefer gives an interesting answer. I just want to share the answer. I think it's just an interesting idea, and that is that even if we don't want to mention, even if we're not going to say that this Yechren Kain Gadol is there to mention Schus Avos, the merits, because he didn't have any merits, he lost his merits. At the same time, we know, looking at Parshas Korach, remember Parshas Korach. So Parshas Korach goes through Korach's lineage. It calls him Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi. His lineage stops by Levi, the son of Yaakov. There's no mention of Yaakov. And Rashi comments there's no mention of Yaakov because Yaakov himself asked that he not be mentioned by Korach's name because he doesn't want his name mentioned involved in Korach's argument. Where is Yaakov's name mentioned with Korach? When Korach is mentioned as those Levim who served in the Beis HaMikdash. That means Yaakov's name is mentioned with Korach on the positive side of Korach. But when it comes to the negative of Korach, which was the Machlekes, Yaakov's name is not there. Which means is that when we mention a person's lineage in a certain event, then we say the lineage has a portion, contributes to this person's event. Yaakov didn't want his name to be mentioned by the argument by the Machlekes of Korach, because that would then mean that Yaakov, somewhere or another, contributed to what Korach did. So he said, don't mention my name there. I don't have any contribution to it. But when Korach is mentioned for the Duchen, for the Levium service, then Yaakov has his name there, because there he did contribute. So if we're going to mention a person and his father and his grandfather, when it comes to a certain event, that implies that we're saying they contributed to what this person eventually became and did. Therefore, the point would be like this. Yechren Kain Gadol. He was 93 when he went off the path. But until then, he was a righteous man. Right? For 80 years, we have no indication there was anything wrong with him. And he raised a good son. He raised the Matisyo. So therefore, you know why we're mentioning Yechren Kain Gadol here? Because you give credit where credit is due. Matisyo became Matisyo because of his father was Yechren Kain Gadol. And when his father was Yechren Kain Gadol, his father raised a very good son. And therefore, when we talk about Matisyo, we're talking about what happened through him, we're going to mention Yechren Kain Gadol. Because Yechren Kain Gadol was a part of who Matisyo was. That's why he became who he became. And therefore we mention him, because he give credit where credit is due. At the end, Yechren Kain Gadol went sour, he went off the derech, he fell off the deep end. That's very tragic. But it doesn't mean that you don't give him credit for his son Matisyo. And therefore, on the it's almost like the Torah, in Al Anisim, the Chazal wanted to mention Yechren Kain Gadol because they wanted to bring out this point that we're not gonna block him out of the picture because of what happened to him at the end. Matisyo was the tzaddik, was the man who saved the Jewish people. He had the merits. Where did he become where he became? How did he become what he became? Because his father was Yechren Kain Gadol. That's why he became what he became. We mention it like we mentioned it in other times. And we're going to mention it even though at the end he went sour. So it's always a very interesting idea. Now the next thing I want to share with you is in the wording again of Al Anisim, where it says, "K'sha'am the malchus hanrashal amcha Yisrael," when the evil Greek empire kingdom arose against your nation Israel, "lahashkicham Torah secha," to cause them to forget your Torah. What did it say? Your Torah, to forget the Torah. "Ulavira mechukei ritzonecha," and to cause them to transgress chukei ritzonecha, the laws of your will. Now, the word chok is sometimes used as a general word for mitzvahs, but we also know that in specific, a chok is a mitzvah that we don't understand. So here also, why are we, when we're talking about that Yavin wanted us to forget your Torah, that means forget the Torah knowledge, and we shouldn't follow your will, why do we choose the word chuke? Why do we choose the word statutes? Which is typically a word that implies the mitzvahs that we don't understand. And the mitzvahs we do understand, they were okay with. We know they took away a lot of mitzvahs that we do understand. Why did Chazal choose chuke, use that word chok, statute, which typically implies something we don't understand? Why did they use that here in Al Hanisim? So the Sifse Chaim says a beautiful idea. And he says, we know that ancient Greece was very into wisdom. What did they have against Torah wisdom? What bugged them about Torah wisdom? What bothered them about it? It's a sharp thing, Torah wisdom. Why should they be so bothered by it? And the way that he brings down is, based on different sources, is that Yavin's problem was that Yavin saw by the Jewish people that Torah was a godly wisdom. It was a wisdom that was attributed to God, and a wisdom that is above human wisdom. The Greeks believed in a wisdom that is understood and that is governed by human intellect. You know, if you look at Greek mythology, right, the Greek gods, they're all humans.
They behave as humans.
And they're the ideas again, because everything by them had to work within the human experience. But when it came to wisdom, by them, wisdom is good. A wisdom has to be a wisdom that is man understood, man comprehended, man governed, and the wisdom of Torah doesn't work that way. The wisdom of Torah, we attribute the wisdom of Torah to a wisdom that's beyond the intellect of God. Beyond our intellect, it's the intellect of God. And because of that, we actually subjugate our understanding to His understanding. Whether that be what we call a chok, a mitzvah that we don't understand, whether it be the details, even a mitzvah that we do understand. Every mitzvah could actually be called a chok, because even if the essential mitzvah is understood, there are sometimes details of it that aren't understood. There's sometimes details that we would not attribute, we would have never have given based on our intellect, and we're only doing it because Hashem told us to do it. This is what bothered the Yavanim. What bothered the Yavanim is that we recognize Torah not just as another form of wisdom, but as your wisdom, Hashem, as the wisdom of God. And as the wisdom of God, it's a more sublime and higher wisdom, which we have to subjugate our intellect to that wisdom. And that they didn't want to hear from. And therefore, it was Lashkicham Torah Secha. They wanted us to forget your Torah. Forget means we should have no connection. You know, when you really forget something, if you have an emotional connection to something, then you don't forget it. But when that emotional connection is broken, that's the real forgetting of something. Lashkichem Tarasecha, the Sifse Chaim points out, doesn't say that you shouldn't learn Torah. You should forget Torah. They wanted that Torah should be forgotten. They wanted to break the emotional connection to Torah, which he says they try to do by influencing the Jewish people to accept Greek culture, Greek intellect. Accept this as your wisdom. Accept the beauty of Greece as your wisdom. If the Greeks understood that if they can influence the Jewish people to inculcate within themselves the Greek philosophy and the Greek culture, that would cause them to forget Torah. Because the more attached they would become to the Greek culture and Greek wisdom, the more they'd forget about the Torah because they have no more connection to it. And it's la'avira mechukei ritzonecha. It's to cause them to transgress the chukei ritzonecha, the statutes of your will. It's going on all mitzvahs. But all the problem of all mitzvahs by the Greeks was the fact that every mitzvah has an aspect of chuk. Every mitzvah is an aspect of where we accept the mitzvah not because we understand it, but because Hashem's will. Every mitzvah, the basis for our performance of that mitzvah is not because, oh, I get that, I agree to that. The basis for that mitzvah is because Hashem said so, because that's Hashem's will. That's the basis for performing. And not only that, when it comes to the actual performance, the way we perform, what we perform, how we perform, that's all done based on how Hashem's intellect tells us what to do. When we subjugate our intellect to His. Avraham Avinu's kindness wasn't just the kindness because of, you know, the human experience. Avram's kindness was based on emulating Hashem's kindness. That's a kindness on a much higher level. Everything that the Torah has, there are many, Aristotle wrote a book on character traits, on qualities. He was a person who believed in that. The Rambam gives high praise to Aristotle and his wisdom. But Aristotle's wisdom was a wisdom of human intellect. Our wisdom and our way of living, even the ones that overlap between the Greek culture and the Jewish religion, it's on a different level. It's more demanding because it's not just about the human experience, it's about what Hashem wants. And that is what Yevon wanted to destroy. And therefore we say when they got up to make us to forget your Torah, which is about the wisdom of Torah, it's the fact that it's your Torah. To cause them to transgress the statutes of your will. The statutes of the will, the aspect of the fact that we subjugate our intellect to whatever Hashem wants. That's what bothered them about the mitzvahs. And when Matisyo and his sons, the Chashmonaim, when they went ahead and they were willing to give up their lives to be able to bring back the worship of Hashem to the Beis HaMikdash and to be able to live a life of Torah again, when they're willing to sacrifice their lives for it, they showed, again, it's not about us, it's not about our human intellect, it's not about what we comprehend. Based on our own comprehension, give it up. Join the other forces. But not only that, but they weren't going to do that. They're ready to give up their lives for it. They're ready to give up their lives when all the odds were against them. That was the ultimate show of subjugating and showing your love for Hashem, for something that's beyond the human experience and human intellect. And when they were willing to do that and give up their lives for it, that is when Hashem did miracles for us. And Hashem gave us the miracle of the menorah, which again, a supernatural miracle, which was a miracle to show that again, that the world is not going to be limited by nature, it's not going to be limited by the human experience. The experience of life, the life of Torah, is a life that's above nature, that's above intellect, that's all about recognizing that everything that we have and live by is by the word and the will of Hashem. We shall have Hanukkah. We're going to now go over to our Aliyah Hanukkah party. We're sorry for those who can't be there, and we hope that you all have a wonderful Hanukkah.
Thank you.